Good morning. We'll start the meeting off this morning with some announcements. For those of you who might be new, we have two weekly meetings on Sundays. We have talks and discussions. The doors open at 10:30, and that session lasts from 11 to 12 noon. Today we are going to be doing the need and the purpose of a theosophical education. And next Sunday, we will be doing the basic principles of theosophy. Then on Wednesday evenings, we have our study class, and in the fall session, we'll be continuing in, we've just started, The Ocean of Theosophy by William Q. Judge. Those classes start at 7:45 and they're over promptly at 9. And what we'll be discussing this coming Wednesday will be Masters Perfected Beings, their powers and their influence. Now also on Wednesday evenings, our reference library is open from 5:30 to 7:30. There's always a student in there if you have any topic that you might want to look up or check. And also, there is a reference usually given out for the Wednesday evening class. There'll be extra copies in the library. If you get a chance to come in early and get to the library, it's a good idea to read the reference because it usually has a lot of little highlights in it to help us understand the class for that evening. Other than that, as far as meetings, that's it for our twice weekly. Also, we wanted to mention that we have a newsletter, if we could call it that, the Theosophical Newsletter, that's on the table as you enter, and I think it's June and July's issue is out. We don't like to go month by month. We like to be a little behind so we can find out if there's anything interesting that comes up at the last minute that you might want to put it in. So, but eventually we get to all 12. And also we wanted to mention for those who might be new, we are one of 28 lodges that are situated throughout the world that are, if you have a chance to pick up the bulletin which you came in, they're listed on the back. And one can see that they're in very unusual places, some of them. It's surprising as they keep opening that they're going into areas where 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, you would not have a theosophical lodge and that information available to those people. And so with those 28 in total, as we are now, we all do our part as far as spread and broadcasting the teachings. The main idea and the main basis for union among all students and inquirers is that idea of similarity of aim, purpose, and teaching, to spread broadcast those teachings. And all the work is done in the lodge on a voluntary basis. Older students take on parts and activities that are kept intact. There are no officers, no dues, no bylaws. The idea for this philosophy is there's no charge for it. It belongs to humanity. If you have teachings to give out, you give them out freely, and we also do that here. And the main idea is if we could learn to disseminate these ideas in the furtherance of unity and the fact that universal brotherhood is a fact in nature. So So those are the basic ideas. If one has a chance, they're very short paragraphs, but they do say a lot, and they've never been changed since the beginning of time. The same basic ideas when the ULT started, they picked up the same basic ideas. So that leaves us to today's discussion. Which we will start off with the idea of the need, and then we'll go through for the purpose. We did look up to start off with, we wanted to look up what a dictionary of today's would have to say, what is the definition of the idea of education? The act or process of imparting or acquiring general knowledge, of developing the powers of the reasoning and judgment, the results produced by instruction, training, or study. This is very interesting because we decided we should maybe look at this idea. When we say education, we immediately think of children, grade school, and what is really needed in today's world as far as modern education. And the idea is that cultivating and developing the mind in the right direction. So one wonders, what does that mean, in the right direction? To teach one to strengthen his will, to think for himself. For all men, altruism, mutual charity, and more than anything else, to think and reason for themselves. This idea of brotherhood, that mutual interdependence that we all have with each other and with all of nature, if we look for it, leads us to that idea that we have to stand on our own two feet. So children, starting, we say not so much education at a school, but they are impressionable. So this is the time when one can put balance and harmony and basic ideas about life and themselves to the children. And some of this, we cannot depend completely on schools. It has to start at the home. That basic idea that they can see within the home, between the parents, their relationship with possibly other children, family and friends. They're picking up things, children, that we're not even aware of. And depending on the background or the family that they're in, they're going to lock those little ideas in their heads. So it says, to teach them self-reliance and to bring them to this full picture, we have to understand that we have a responsibility to the young minds. Now, one other thing. HPB wrote in 1889, now this is 122 years ago, her idea of modern education. The object of modern education is to pass examinations, a system not to develop right emulations, but to generate and breed jealousy, envy, hatred almost, in the young people from one another, and thus train them for a life of ferocious selfishness and struggle for honors and emulations, wages, instead of kindly feelings. Now, we're not that much up to date on what's going on in the field of education today. But as far as we know, tests are the top priority. If you pass this test, you go on. If you don't, you don't go on. So we wonder, are the schools are not really all they're cracked up to be or ought to be? We wonder if they do take the time to really bring out something from an inner nature of the child, some inner talent, some inner being that they want to work on, something more permanent than just worrying about making the tests, making the right grades. They could reduce on a purely mechanical work of the memory to an absolute minimum. For those of us that went to school before computers, do we remember memorizing the division table, the multiplication table, the addition table? And everything was by memory to memorize it. And you could just rattle it off. Did it really mean anything? We're not sure when we think back. And in today, with everything done with something else on the outside doing it for you, you wonder, are they gaining anything there either? The theosophical idea is more to deal with each child as a unit, to educate it so it produces the most harmonious and equal unfoldment of its powers, in order that a special aptitude should find their full naturalness and nature of development. So for those schools that they do have, that they are working with trying to bring out the inner from a child, these are very good. For the majority, we're still at the same place as we were before. Another information that came up, this is by an unknown author, but it's interesting. Education should consist of a series of enchantments, each raising the individual to a higher level of awareness, understanding, and kinship with all living things. The infusion of a little practical theosophy would help 1,000 times over. The fundamental doctrines of theosophy are of no value unless they're applied to one's daily life. So besides the idea of educating children, it's re-educating adults. Here in the West, we've been brought up more with a religious background or scientific. Either way, it's something telling us from the outside, this is what you should do. This is how it's done. Not bringing that freedom to the individual of trying to deal for himself. And it gives an understanding that there never was any type of creation in the sense of making something out of nothing. It just doesn't happen. That every being and every kind has evolved and is still in that process of evolving. And the idea that we live in a world that is conditioned universally by law, and law is operating everywhere and upon all things and all beings. It's the universal law of balance and harmony. That old saying, as ye sow, so shall ye also reap. It's of our own doing, our own development. So we can be and should be in charge of our own being. And it's our actions that we come through with from the ideas of an absolute justice and individual responsibility. If we keep that in mind, we can see that whole unity with and around all of us. And for each one, they can re-educate themselves as children are being educated, and we think we learn the idea of right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil. The actual thing has nothing to do with it. It's what we label. This is good for me, but it's bad for you. Or this is right for me, but it's wrong for you. We're the ones that label it by our ideas and our thoughts. And this way, if we start to learn at the very beginning, we can broaden our scope and we have a responsibility to all humanity. Then we can see those noble qualities that we need to work on. So from why the need, we can move now to the purpose of education.
The purpose of education, well, it's all-encompassing, it's deep, it's mysterious, it requires a lot of effort and pain on the part of the student and the teacher, more so for the teacher, we think. But the purpose, we've just heard a talk on the need, and the need is all-pervasive. Now, the purpose is, from a theosophical point of view, is to help one become mentally healthy, self-reliant, and with a sense of responsibility for one's fellows and for the lower kingdoms of nature. So it is all-encompassing. Many of us are at this time where there's a lot of psychism developing in the race mind. The struggle is to become mentally healthy. It's a struggle to become mentally healthy and balanced in an age, in a transitional age, when everything is moving so rapidly. One of the challenges of education, of course, is the practical standpoint, is to prepare one so that they may be engaged in vocations, you know, for their life's work. Not so much for advocation, which is something that would fall more into the theosophical branch. And the problem is that everything is moving so rapidly now, it's really tough to know where. You almost must, it's like you must be a seer almost to be able to see where you should be preparing students for their future. Often things, they become obsolete so fast that the head spins. But from a theosophical point of view, we are to live to benefit mankind. That is the first step. And we do this through questioning, strong search, and service. Now, the Socratic method, which is to question all assumptions, to question, put all your assumptions aside and question them. Socrates claimed to have no knowledge of himself, but he went seeking for what is behind knowledge. And if someone is honest and open, they will realize that the Socratic method, it cuts through the ignorance and the dogmatism. When you are challenged to articulate your beliefs, then there are always questions, questions, and more questions. But there are eternal verities, there are universal principles, and the purpose of a theosophical education is to reintroduce these into the race mind. So we educe or draw out through the Socratic method and also through lectures and discussions and living the life. And living the life is practicing these principles in all of our affairs, with our family, with our friends, with strangers, with those that are inimical to us and antagonistic toward us. And that is how we grow. So we must always analyze our thoughts, feelings, actions, and desires. And it is more important to not be concerned about successes or failures and how they affect ourselves or others. If we are operating from the principle of the best that we know and truly working from a high motive, we may not have all the knowledge necessary to really to benefit others. As a matter of fact, we may incur unintended harm. But if we are operating from that principle of analyzing our thoughts, feelings, and desires, then our actions are worthy. So we should look equally upon success or failure, not to be carried away with our successes or to withdraw like the turtle into the carapace of our being. That is part of the first part of becoming mentally healthy. And it also reinforces that self-reliance. If we are not living in the personal wants, needs, and desires, then we can become a self-reliant human being. Then we are more likely to see our responsibility towards others and our dharma and our duty, which is the workings of the law within us. Our dharma is what is whatever comes our way. So theosophy was scientifically formulated to lead the mind of the age to living wisdom, and this living wisdom abides within. This has been impressed on us in ages past, and we have forgotten, or through our own self-will, we have chosen to ignore the dictates of the soul for immediate gain and self-gratification, sensual gratification, lucre, whatever is out there that attracts that lower part of our nature. Theosophical education helps us to rise above that and see the fallacy of it, and that it is not only harming others, but harming ourselves as well. So the first requisite for obtaining self-knowledge is to feel with every fiber of the heart that one is ceaselessly self-deceived. And it's those senses, those wild, that pack of wild horses out west almost, although they're probably more organized than our senses, we think. We'd like to, there are so many other, of course, education is as broad as the ocean, and we're beginning our study in the ocean of theosophy, and we invite everyone to, if they can, make it on Wednesday nights. We're just beginning, and it will not overwhelm the understanding of a child, but it gives reach and range to the greatest minds. There have been many, many martyrs for the theosophical cause in educating mankind. And we would like to close with a quote from one, Giordano Bruno, who lived four centuries ago. He was an educator and an amazing individual. And here is the quote from him. Human souls are light, distinct from the universal soul, which is diffused over all and penetrates everything. A purifying process guides them from one existence to another. The life of man is more than an experience or a trial. It is an effort, a struggle to reproduce and represent upon earth some of that goodness, beauty, and truth which are diffused over the universe and constitute its harmony. Long, slow, and full of opposition is the educational process of the soul. Through struggle is man educated, fortified, and raised. Comments, discussion, questions in the back?
Well, we certainly know how our education system works and we've all gone through it. How could you best express what a theosophical education would be? Would it be this book learning or this gathering of knowledge or information more than knowledge? How would one approach educating a child in this day?
Well, Bronson Olcott, who was one of the transcendentalists, the precursors in America of the theosophical movement, he said to look see what each child's needs are. I mean, ideally, we understand that there are pressures and that we each can't have a private tutor. Ideally, we could. And because each child is different and unique. And he said the child is the book and you follow the natural inclinations and inquisitiveness of the child and then you support the child. So there should be as many certified teachers as there are children in this country, ideally. However, that is not the case.
Just a wonderful anecdote about Olcott himself. The very first class he ever taught, all young boys, they were noisy and wouldn't be disciplined or concentrate at all. And he called the noisiest child up to the front of the room and said, because I'm the teacher, I'm responsible for your behavior, handed him a ruler and said, you have to spank me 10 times. No child ever misbehaved in that class again.
And don't we think also that at home, in a family, preschool time, aren't we also trying, or should we also be trying, to let them understand not you'll be punished if you do this, but rather this is the consequence of your act. So give them that choice rather than constantly directing, this is how we do it, blah, 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 on and on and on. Give them that choice to let them know if you do this, this will happen.
So much of education, as we know it, considers differences of individual opinion, different theories, compares and contrasts, and very often the hallmark of a modern education, even at the higher levels, is the ability to analyze and discuss quite naturally all the different opinions out there. But it's clear from the declaration of the ULT that the purpose of a theosophical education is to avoid dissensions and differences of opinion. Why is that so definite there and different from what we usually do in the educational process?
Well, we would see that, one, it gives us something to think about. We become our own thinker, rather than this way or that way. And we're starting off with that idea that each and every one has, in his way, the right to think and act as they seem fit to do. We cannot be a judge of other people's actions or thoughts. If we're going to judge, we only have one thing we can do with that. The judgment is, how we act and think. We can make judgment on ourselves. And it's also pulling in that strong sense, the other way, of separateness. And that's one of the main problems, this idea of separateness. You are different than me. I am better than you. All this adds up and been drummed into us. We begin to think and act that way. We have a much broader scope if we think on a more practical theosophical idea that each one is his own purpose, is his own person, and is his own deed.
We like the expression, each one teach one, because we are really all teachers. We teach by good and bad example, both. So, and we can learn from everyone. One of the reasons, though, I mean, in academia, and we never really, just from observation, it seems like there is a lot of competition, and there's a lot of intellect, and it's the intellect over the heart, because it's that struggle to get to the top of the heap and to find a new wrinkle and a new discovery, and you know, sometimes it benefits mankind, and sometimes it doesn't, but. So, I mean, that's it briefly without going into any detail. Yes.
Well, isn't the point, though, in the declaration that the theosophical education is to look into the heart of the oneness of all nature, of all human beings, and of all needs and purposes, that there's actually a unifying principle. And so all other things would be illusionary or just side issues. They just don't have the import that looking at this oneness does.
That would eliminate a lot of problems if we could honestly live and think that way, the oneness of all. As was stated, that idea of brotherhood. Brotherhood is a fact in nature. We might not know it in complete detail, but it is a fact of nature.
The lady in the corner had her hand up earlier.
I was thinking that it's very, I think, important to understand the differences that people come to theosophy with, so and they must feel comfortable expressing them, so that through discussion and rational thinking, you can then begin to draw the, you know, what appears to be differences in opinion. You can begin to draw associations and correlations with the teaching of theosophy, so that then one comes away with a united. Feels more united, even in their differences. What appears to be differences, there is a homogeneity, geniusness.
Good point.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yes. Well put. And yeah, we are warned against using too many terms. To try to use plain language as much as we can, and also there are, you know, because there is a sort of There is a different language. Theosophy, it used as many English words as possible, but it also introduced some Sanskrit words which needed to be put right into the race mind as soon as possible. And they are like karma and reincarnation. Well, reincarnation, of course, is an English word, but karma did not exist before the Theosophical movement in English. And It is the reason for reincarnation. It is the basis for reincarnation. And that is part of a theosophical education. So there are a few terms that one must familiarize oneself with. Of course, in the 130-some years since the modern theosophical movement became public, the word karma is commonplace. It may be misunderstood and misapplied. But yet, anyone coming into these rooms should be welcome and should not be made to feel that their differences of opinion is any basis for dissension. It should not. And we are not here to inculcate so much as to draw out, to tease out that soul knowledge. You've had your hand up.
Well, I wanted to follow up on our comment by our friend up back there, that I think the underlying of this, what underlies this statement about not concern itself with dissensions or differences of opinion, the underlying is really not to get rid of the differences of opinion or the or whatever, but to come together and see. And what you just said about drawing out, well, the meaning of education is to draw out. Educere is the Latin word for drawing out.
Yes.
We think that the difference, that non-focusing on differences of individual opinion is quite different from differences of ideas that we bring to this study.
That's right, yeah.
We think it means it doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what I think.
Right.
What we're here is to give out the teachings of theosophy, not our opinions.
Right.
But an individual having different ideas, that's not necessarily an opinion.
Right.
So of course we discuss those things.
Yes?
So looking at our current situation in the educational system, what we see is the result perhaps of more of a breakdown of the nuclear family. And it was mentioned in the first part of the discussion this morning that as we have responsibility for one another because we are connected, what winds up happening when the family disintegrates, the unit begins to fall apart, the teacher is often called upon to be educator, disciplinarian, mother, father, best friend, counselor, and so the actual education that needs to be done almost takes second place. And now we're seeing a complete rehauling of the system with charter schools and other things. But going back to its root, everything that was talked about is the key. Looking at the child as just as valuable and one we have just as much responsibility to as we do ourselves or another loved one. Often the children get put into a different category for some reason. And if we looked at them and listened to them better, we would understand that is another soul in evolution, and perhaps our selfish needs would take a backseat to the needs of the child, which would ultimately affect the education system.
Very much so. As we said, we really think that a lot of people feel the first education has got to come from the home. And it's easy because children pick up things we don't think they pick up. They know why is mommy acting like that? It's something out of the norm if something comes up. They see and sense things. And sometimes, you know that old saying, out of the mouths of babes? Sometimes we do really need to listen more to the child.
A lot of hands.
Yeah.
You hear from a lot of children and even adults today, the purpose of the education is thought to be in a popular mind, to acquire a job, to enrich oneself, to be able to live the American dream, so to speak.
Mm.
That seems to be the prime purpose of our current educational system. what is the prime purpose of the theosophical educational?
Well, when we opened up, it's to educate the head, the heart, and the mind, or the head, the heart, and the, what is it?
The hands.
The doing part, the helping others. I mean, it takes hands to really get down there and help others. But we'll read it again. The purpose of education from a theosophical point of view, it's threefold. It is to help one to become mentally healthy and a self-reliant human being, and then with a responsibility towards his fellow men and the lower kingdoms of nature. So first we need to become mentally healthy and whole. Then we can become self-reliant. We're not looking for somebody to fix us or feed us, or if we're able to. And then we have a responsibility toward all of nature. So that's it in a nutshell. Yes.
It's said that the term is used that we are students of theosophy. But as soon as we cross that line and try to take what we've learned in our minds and apply it, we recognize that all of a sudden we become teachers, because we have to re-educate the very lives in our nature that for so long have been acting in a non-theosophical direction. So much of education is clearing up or purifying or changing our personal nature.
And for each one, it can be affected in many different ways. But the fact is, if one really wants to try, this is where the judgment comes in. Sit down maybe and make a list on a sheet of paper of your attributes. And then on the other side, you can put the other. And look at it and see, is this what I want to be? Is this all that I can be? Is that what saying is? Is there not something more I can do? And the other thing is, I think with that idea, is if we honestly look at it and want to make the changes, we have to understand, like a habit, it didn't start overnight. It's something you repeated and repeated and repeated, and all of a sudden it took over. It's like when you try to break a habit, it's not easy. But then you have to then work on something new to replace it. So it is a constant battle to try to take things on this other list that you'd like to eliminate completely and work on the attributes. And we all within us know and feel. We know when we're doing something wrong. We know when we're doing something that's not harmonious or not helpful to all. We don't need anybody to tell us. We don't need anybody to pat us on the back. We know within. We just have a habit of wanting stuff today. If it doesn't cost a lot, and if I can't get it right away, it's not worth anything. That's not it. With this idea of karma and reincarnation, the law of cause and effect, and the idea that you're not in any extreme hurry, but the fact that you keep trying, that's the important thing. Keep trying to eliminate those defects.
And the purpose of a theosophical education, as stated in the declaration, is to spread broadcast the teachings of the fundamental propositions of the philosophy of theosophy. And that is more than just the three propositions of deity, law, and evolution, which are very important. That's the starting point to get a grasp of the principles of deity, law, and evolution. But we need to look into the sevenfold nature of man to realize that there is that in us which is eternal, boundless, immutable, ever-evolving, You can't limit it in any way. That is in our nature. That is a part of our nature. We're not poor, miserable sinners, even if we're acting as if. That is the act. The real man is the higher triad of Atma, Buddhi, and Manas. Atma is all pervasive. Buddhi is that highest soul nature that we have. And Manas is mind, the mind principle. And we use the four lower principles. They are transitory. And we use them, you know, that is the lower nature that sacrifices itself for us so that we may help them. We could look at it that way. Hmm. You've had your hand up?
Well, we would think that education is more about the mind, about training the mind to behave in a certain way. And it seems that this was another time or another place, you know, our education perhaps would have been different if we came to this study of this ancient wisdom. We would probably have had to meet someone to help us, to show us which direction to go. Perhaps they would have given us a question for us to ponder or something other than giving us information. So the fact that we have all of this in writing before us, and which is a lot of information, how do we assimilate all of this? Because there has to be an assimilation process to be educated. You know, how do we find that inner self, that, you know, and that quiet or that place where we can begin to understand this information that we have in front of us?
It's a struggle.
It is.
That question was a struggle.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's for each of, there's many paths to the mountain. We each have to find our own path. We're given the principles. And those that were fortunate enough to have a youthful theosophical education have an advantage. But it is a struggle. Yes, in the back. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What came to mind during that very difficult question was that frequently our commonality is we think of education and we go right back to considering schools and small children, when the entire process of evolution and education is a lifelong endeavor and a lifelong process of blooming. And theosophically speaking, it's not only for this incarnation, but it's for the many, isn't it?
Mm. Mm.
For life and lives.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we think that the theosophical education is really not just for the mind, it's for the whole person. And it's not just for each one of us. We learn, and learning is being educating ourselves. We learn by our human contacts, how we relate to people, by listening to people and trying to understand them, and to come to a mutual understanding. And I don't know how many people here deal with small children anymore, and or have an effect on the general educational system. But when we see children, there are new children out in our time. The new generation of children is different than we were when we were children. They are more alert. They are, I mean, they call them the indigo children.
Mm.
The children who know who they are.
Mm.
And they are teaching their parents. And personally, I believe that's the new race coming in. Or the
indigo children, yes.
And they are teaching us.
to what the miss was saying, they're like some of the parents are children themselves.
So true.
You know, they're going on 12, they're like 30 going on 12 or something like that, you know? And the kids are actually have turned into the parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their knowledge is like a new generation going on. So I think it's like self-awareness for like the old, I work with the older people, the generation, like make an assessment and inventory themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the thing is going crazy. You know, it's going
topsy-turvy.
It's topsy-turvy. The kids are running the whole of telling the parents what to do. You know, so I think it's a, I think the parents need a self-awareness, or the grown-ups need a self-awareness, because we never learned that. I never learned that, you know, so it's an ongoing inventory of atonement process, but it's, I guess it's how it's meant to be. That's all.
Yes?
We were thinking if each of us in this room thought back, we're lucky if we had one teacher that we remember because they made such a positive and lifelong impact upon us. And part of it is thinking back to why. What was it that engaged us so much? And there are several people in this room who are doing that today in unusual ways in the outward educational system. So it would seem the idea is take what we're learning here, educate ourselves, and if you're a mechanic, be the best mechanic you can be and look for every opportunity to put this into action. Or if you're an actual educator, find a creative way to communicate these ideas. And we, in doing that, we're changing that corner of the world. That influence is felt.
Enthusiasm from a teacher breeds enthusiasm. It wakes them up. It makes it alive. It makes it real. It's not just memorizing something.
Enthusiasm is good, but we also have to be careful about being too, it's difficult to be encouraging without overdoing it, and it's a fine line, but yes.
Well, that major question from that earlier question had to do with how do you discover the self? And we think one of the best things you can do is sit down with a piece of paper and write down what you know. Not what people have told you, not what you believe, but what you really know. I know this. When you do that, you will begin to see the only things you can really count on. And then when you begin to inspect them through the Theosophical teachings, you discover the importance of I.
Mm.
Well, if you sit down with a piece of paper and write down all the things you are, for good or ill, whatever you wrote down is not yourself.
Right.
The piece of paper is yourself, meaning that it's the field, the unconditioned field that is aware and impressed by all these things, but not affected.
That's not the real you. But we have to start with, as was stated, we are thinking beings, thinkers. We incarnated into form so we may have connection, spirit, with matter. So for each one, we have to begin somewhere, somehow. And so that we understand that this list, as we've made them out, we need to work on the personality and be in charge, whereas it's all our lower wants and needs and likes and dislikes. We have to take a hold of the reins, and we have to become in charge of our senses and our thoughts and make ourselves more of a channel, so that real I within us, that I that was when I was a little kid, when I was a teenager, when I was growing up, and that I that I know inside has never changed. It's seen all these different parts of my life, but I am still I. This starts giving you something to question and look at. It gives you some meat to jump into, to get a hold of. It's something that's going to keep you thinking.
In the corner?
Okay, there's that I that's observed all these changes. And then there's another part of us that has gone through the changes. Those changes are not the real I.
We could even take the physical I as an example.
Okay.
Where is the vision in the eye?
In the
is it really?
Oh, no.
Where is it? Where is it? Exactly. Where is the real vision in the eye? The eye is an instrument, but just like we are an instrument using vehicles, and this eye is our personality, which we're trying to improve on, we're trying to build on, we're trying to change, and through evolution we do change. It's I guess there's two eyes, perhaps.
Yes, the fact is, no matter how many things you've seen or how much you use your eyes, you've never affected or used up the power to see. And that's what we are, the user of power.
Right. We are the power. We are not these thoughts, these feelings, these vehicles, these likes and dislikes. We're so much more than that.
Well, when we have the inner feeling that I have changed, we need to sit down quietly within ourselves and ask, what has changed? Mm-hmm. And very often, it's a power of that I. We've changed in our ability to know, to love, to understand, to act. It's greater or lesser degree. But that fundamental I hasn't. It's just what it's capable of manifesting. In other words, as was pointed out, it's evolving, but it never is at the same time.
In the back.
And when we're thinking about I have changed, it would probably be better to say me has changed and I am the entity that perceives me changing.
Whoa. Me have changed. We'd get in trouble. That's coming from a teacher. Yes, one point, I'm sorry, you haven't had a chance yet.
In other words, evolution, based upon a fundamental principle and the law governing all evolution, an acorn in our hands, we hardly realize that we as parents know there's a mighty oak. So we are in charge of that acorn until it can become an oak on its own.
Okay, we have time for one more. You haven't had a chance yet.
What the philosophical purpose of education is can be really different from what the governmental view of education is. and what it is, there are national standards dictated to states and state standards dictated to school districts, and so we have to force feed all these different things into the classroom. And in fact, you take a board of math teachers and take a look at the curriculum expected. It's been determined that you need 72% more time to actually teach everything that we're told to teach if you're going to teach proficiently. So we need about 18 months a year to teach it. So we bring that up simply because whatever they're all saying, from the principal up in the actual classroom, they never show up in the classroom. Mm. They really don't. The only people in the classroom is the teacher and the kids' parents, if you're communicating with their parents. So it's not the content, it's the methods that you teach by, and it's the path that the kids follow. And as they grow from teaching and learning, the stuff matters. Kids have to know their times tables. Kids have to know certain aspects of history. But we're here to say that it's really not the teacher, it's the parents. Because when we call parents and tell parents, I can't do it without you. You have to make sure A, B, C. If you don't, I can't do it. Then the relationship between the teacher and the student fundamentally changes. When the student knows you're plugged in with his family, it's a completely different experience.
Okay, thank you.
You can't forget the family.
Thank you, and that will be the last comment. We invite all to participate in all the activities of the Lodge and to give what you can from your heart of time, money, and service. All are most needed and most appreciated. Meeting adjourned.
Push the button.
Oh, I heard you.